Good morning. If the President of the United States of America announced that he was going to come to campus here at Emmanuel and give a speech here in the gym, I imagine that most of us would probably be in attendance. And not only us, but also parents and people from the community and your neighbors would also be attending. Probably so many people here that we'd all be spilling outside of the gym. And with so many people in attendance, you have to imagine that there would be a lot of different attitudes towards the president, or a lot of different feelings that people might have about him. I assume that most of us might attend merely because he's the president of the United States. It'd be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be able to sit and listen to him speak to us. There might be other people who would come because they supported him, and they voted for him, and they believe in the ideals that he has. And there might be others that would come even though they didn't vote for him. And not only did they not vote for him, but they disagree with everything he does, and they rather cynical regarding him. And there's probably other reasons for people coming as well. And in the same way, we recognize that people have different attitudes regarding Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. In our world today, several different attitudes exist. Some people think of Jesus as merely a humanitarian or as a role model. Some people view Jesus with hatred in their hearts, and they refuse to believe in him as their Savior. And still other people view Jesus with faith in their hearts, recognizing that he is their Savior from sin. In our text today, we recognize that there are three different groups. And these groups are the crowd, those who are seeking a celebrity, believers, those who approach in trusting faith, and the scribes, those scoffing in stubborn unbelief. So we'll find those in our text, which is Matthew 9, verses 1 through 8. And getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and went home. And when the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. So in this account from Matthew, we're not given many of the details regarding the setting of this account, but in some of the other Gospels, we do find those details. We learn that Jesus had returned home to his hometown from the land of the Gadarenes, and when he arrived, he was greeted by such a large group of people, a crowd of people who thought of him as a celebrity, that when he went and was teaching in a house, that the building was so filled that people could no longer fit into the building that he was preaching. And there were so many people there that we recognize there must have been several different attitudes regarding Jesus. Now hopefully most of the people recognize that Jesus was the promised Messiah who had come to save them from their sins. It is likely, however, that a lot of the people came merely because he was a local celebrity. They had heard about his healings and his other miracles, and they wanted to see them for themselves. They might not have been interested in the gospel that he was proclaiming at all. And sadly, there's many churches in our world today that have the same attitude regarding Jesus. There's many that don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God at all, but rather a great humanitarian, a role model, someone who preaches revolutionary ideas, but nothing more than just a man. To many, the foundation of Christianity isn't the gospel, but rather doing good for other people. And they teach that if we love one another, and if we donate to charities, and if we help out in our community, in all this, when we try to emulate Jesus Christ, then we can get to heaven. They say as long as you're a good person, then you can earn eternal salvation. I remember once I was talking to a lady who was on her way to attending her brother-in-law's funeral, and she told me that her brother-in-law had never gone to church, but he was a good man. And she talked to her pastor about it, and her pastor told her, Well, God has a special place in heaven for good people as well. It's a sad state of affairs in our world today that people who have been given the Bible their entire lives are so blind to the central teaching that's in it. Today, we must thank the Lord that He has worked faith in our hearts to understand that central teaching of Scripture. That Jesus was not just a man, not just a role model for us, but rather the true Son of God who humbled Himself to the point of death so that we might be saved. Now, in our account, we find some people who share the same faith that we have. We're introduced to a group of people who brought their friend the paralytic. In Luke, we're told that when they discovered that the house was so full that they couldn't get the paralytic in the door, they climbed up on the roof, ripped open the roofing tiles, and lowered the man before Jesus. It's really amazing when we see this dedication that these people had to their friend. And what led these people to Jesus? We read that it was their faith. We read, "And when Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, 'Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven.'" So we're told these people had faith. Now, whether this was saving faith in Jesus as their Savior, or whether it was faith that Jesus could heal their friend's legs, we're not really sure. But since Jesus forgave this man his sins, we know that he had saving faith in his heart. And seeing this faith in his heart, Jesus grants him healing and relief, forgiving the sin that was paralyzing him spiritually. So because Jesus chose to forgive this man his sins rather than first healing the man's legs, we recognize which Jesus felt was the most important. What a blessing it is for us that we have a Savior who, while He's concerned about our physical well-being, is more concerned about our spiritual well-being. In light of this, we all have to feel a little bit ashamed when we recognize that in our own lives, we place priority often not on our spiritual well-being, but rather our physical well-being. If you think about your prayer life, how often do you spend time asking for help on a test or help in a sporting event rather than asking for forgiveness from your sins? Or how often when you find yourself in church or in chapel and you're focused on schoolwork or errands you have to run or chores or friends when the word of life is being poured out before you? I think most of us recognize that our attention is usually on the opposite of what it needs to be. And were we in this paralyzed man's shoes, rather than asking for spiritual healing, we might be asking only for physical healing. But thankfully, despite our shortcomings in this regard, our Savior Jesus loves us and forgives us. He looked past His own physical well-being and looked out for our spiritual well-being. Every temptation that confronted Him, He batted away, keeping His focus not on physical life, but rather on you, in your spiritual life. He did it for you. Now, for all the people in this audience, in this account, Jesus showed that the man's most pressing need was his spiritual paralysis. And Jesus, the Savior of the world, healed the man of his sins. Now, this is where the third attitude towards Jesus comes up. This is where the scribes come in. See, these scribes, they followed Jesus trying to catch him in lies. And in this account, they were grumbling, saying that Jesus was a blasphemer. And ironically, when they accused Jesus of blaspheming, they in themselves were actually the ones blaspheming. For though they were correct in saying that only God could forgive sins, in their pride, they didn't recognize that standing right before them was God who had become flesh. So faced with this attack of unbelief, Jesus uses this as an opportunity to show His absolute authority as God. Not only had He forgiven the man's sins, not only could He read the people's thoughts, but He takes it one further and shows the people His authority before their very eyes. So here Jesus presents the scribes with this question. He says, "Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'?" So here Jesus is presenting them with this logical proof. And essentially what he is saying is, if I can make this man walk, then you know that I can forgive sins as well. And Jesus said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and went home. Now notice how Jesus didn't blow up in anger at these scribes. He didn't shout and accuse them. Rather, he used it as an opportunity to show his authority and his purpose for coming to earth. In demonstrating this authority to those who came in faith, he showed them that they were truly forgiven. To those who came to seek a celebrity, he showed that his purpose wasn't merely to heal physical paralysis, but rather spiritual paralysis. And to those stubborn, unbelieving scribes, he presented them with the one thing that could work faith in their hearts, the fact that he was their savior from sin, and he had come to save all mankind. So different attitudes exist in our world today regarding Jesus. Some people think of him only as a role model. Some people think of him with hatred in their hearts, refusing to believe him. But I'm thankful that we here today, we all recognize that Jesus is our Savior and that the Holy Spirit has planted faith in our hearts. Matthew 8:17 says, "He himself took our sicknesses and carried our diseases." Let's thank the Lord that he took our sickness of sin and carried that disease upon his shoulders to the cross. Let's recognize that Jesus recognized our most serious ailment and once for all destroyed its effects for us. And now may we spread this saving message to those who have different opinions about our Savior. In Jesus' saving name, amen. We'll close singing hymn 206, verses 1 and 4. 206, 1 and 4.